Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our 2 at 2, and the goal always to protect life, liberty and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk radio always at your fingertips. Last hour, we had on our buddy Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, always doing a great job. We talked about Rudolph Giuliani is out. Rex Tillerson is in. He's the head of ExxonMobil for Secretary of State. Trump to pick Kathy McMorris Rogers, a Washington congresswoman, to be Interior Secretary. And the FBI and the CIA are in a battle. They're at odds. CIA saying, hey, Russia certainly tampered with the elections. FBI saying, no proof, no evidence. The debate rages on. Ron Paul created an incredible column at ronpaulinstitute.org. The war on fake news is part of the war on free speech. Boy, is he right about that. Ron Paul says the latest and the potentially most dangerous threat to the First Amendment is the war on fake news. We believe the mainstream press peddles more fake news than anyone, and they do so at the behest of the government and or party in power. We talked about the real Fidel Castro, hero or cold-blood murderer. The mainstream is lauding Castro as a hero and a liberator of his people. What a big old absolute lie. Tom Woods nails an expose on this reality of the dictator and thug that Fidel Castro was. TomWoods.com. It's a podcast 797 that gives you the breakdown and the details. Incredible stuff from Tom Woods. Listening to this podcast, ladies and gentlemen, gives you a bird's eye view of Fidel Castro that you won't get anywhere else. The guy was a thug. Okay, got that? All right, welcome to the broadcast. Now, Donald Trump, quote, nobody really knows what's causing climate change. Looks like Trump told Fox News on Sunday, said, you know what? He's open-minded about global warming, but nobody knows what's really happening with the climate. He is telling this to Chris Wallace. And kind of an interesting exchange there. Everybody absolutely going ballistic on Donald, saying, how dare you deny climate change, etc. But Donald is fairly open-minded. He's saying, look, we don't know what causes it, even if we agree that it exists. There are many that don't even agree that it exists. It's kind of interesting. It's not even winter yet, and you got cold fronts, you know, what, 17 states across the country right now in serious cold fronts and snowstorms and ice everywhere, and it's like, wow. And even if there is global warming that occurs, we don't know what causes it. And even if we knew what caused it, and even if we agree that it exists, there's no proof that it makes life worse for us. Al Gore absolutely lied in his inconvenient lie. I mean, truth, quote, documentary. He basically said by now we'd have literally ice melting everywhere. The polar bears would be dead. Everything would just be crazy. It's not reality at all. In fact, most of our client, quote, prediction models have been proven false and don't work. Anyway, good for Donald Trump to be at least honest about that and say, hey, nobody really knows what's causing climate change. And do I agree there's climate change? Yeah, I do. I agree cyclically. The climate does change. It has for literally centuries, for millennia. That doesn't mean that you and I are the causes of it. And if you and I quit burping or something like that, it's going to fix it all. It doesn't mean that government should have more power and control over our lives at all. The violation of God's commandments is a greater threat to any of us than any lie the government will peddle to create control over our lives regarding global warming, global cooling, climate change, El Niño, La Niña, any words they can come up with that really translates into government wants more control over your life. And they'll use any lie they can to get it. All right, Kurt Crosby, are you with me, sir?
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right. You're welcome, sir. We tried to go to you. You were sleeping at the wheel, though. What do you think, really? Donald telling
I heard
Chris Wallace?
The whole thing. I heard the whole
Donald
thing.
Trump telling Chris Wallace, hey, you know what? Nobody knows what's going on with climate change. What do you think?
Well, I think at least Donald's standing up to him. You know, you get all these supposedly smart guys that, you know, are unwilling to really look at all the facts, you know, because it doesn't fit their narrative.
Yeah. Speaking of climate, I guess living in a leafy environment. What do they say? That's really good for you, Kurt?
Well, yeah, the at least the latest, I guess you could say, stories, you know, are saying, and I don't think this is anything new, but they're telling us that, you know, it looks like there's a better way to live, you know, where you live more in, you know, leafy suburbs to cut the cancer risk. And now they say living in a leafy area like Wimbledon is likely to be better for your health than inner city. Now, this was across the pond, talking about compared to inner city London. The science editor there, Sarah Napton, is where the story came from. But, you know, they say living in the leafy suburbs or the peace of the countryside may invite disdain from inner city urbanites, but it might just save your life, according to Harvard University. You know, and so maybe at least all this government idea of sticking everybody all squished together, you know, and leaving all these wide open spaces is really not the best thing for us. But when is government knowing all the best things for us? They say people whose homes are surrounded by the most greenery are 13% less likely to die of cancer. Their risk of dying from respiratory disease also drops by 34%. Pretty good drop. They say this was the biggest ever study into green spaces and health. Now, what I want to know is who funded this. But anyway, they say overall mortality was 12% less for people who had the most greenery within 250 meters of their homes during the eight-year follow-up period. It's thought that being surrounded by vegetation improves mental health and lowers depression. It also allows people to get out and about more, giving more opportunities for exercise and social engagement, both of which, they say, are known to be protective against disease. Anyway, the bottom line is something that you already knew the scientists are figuring out.
Well, you know, I only knew it, Kurt, only because I know this. Whenever you leave people alone, mm-hmm. whenever you quit meddling with man-made so-called knowledge or expertise on every given subject on the planet with an agenda usually attached, yeah. you find yourself out in the weeds and living where trees are. You know, it's obvious that we breathe, what, oxygen, Kurt?
Yep.
And whatever we breathe, the trees breathe the opposite, or the plants, the vegetation breathes the opposite. And so it's logical to say, hey, the more vegetation you have around you within reason, there's always a limit to everything, but the better off you're going to be. The more we eat natural foods as opposed to man-made processed foods, the better off we're going to be. The more we have appropriate sunlight and sleep and normal day-to-day things, the better off we are. This is not hard, Kurt. It doesn't take a big study to prove that. But the new study is very interesting, and they say adds to a growing body of evidence that shows that greener living environments is associated with various indicators of better health. I'm saying, wow, good for them, Kurt. I'm glad they came to the conclusion. Sorry it cost us so much money, folks.
That's a great point, Sam.
Isn't it pretty easy to say?
You could have told them that for a lot less money.
Yeah. Both of us could have.
Yeah, good point.
Because it's not hard, Kurt. That's the thing that I don't get about these people. Why do a study about that? Who in their right mind would be able to say, hey, cutting down all the trees and getting rid of the vegetation around you, knowing full well this simple principle about balance of air and stuff, who in their right mind would say, oh, yeah, should we find out if green around you and vegetation good, or, hey, let's get rid of it all, it'll be better? Who in their right mind could even think that, Kurt?
It's a great question, and, you know, it seems like those scientists, you know, always agree on one thing, and that is more research
more
is
money.
Necessary.
Yeah. But I mean, even if you go to Genesis,
that's
the Lord
what it translates
that
to.
The vegetation is for our benefit, for the benefit
of
man.
Well, I know, but that's the problem, Sam. You're not supposed to put the G word into this.
I did the mix. B word. I did the Bible. And, oh, yeah, Genesis.
I know,
oh, good point.
G for God and all that kind of
stuff.
Oh,
wait. Genesis?
You know,
how do you spell that?
Yeah, with a G as well.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know, that G word, I guess. I don't know if it means Genesis or God these days. But either way, I'm just saying it's very simple stuff.
That's exactly right.
All right, Hillary Clinton's campaign cost a pretty penny. Let's get into that, too. That's something that should be obvious as all get out, but for some strange reason, they're always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth, huh, folks? Fake news running around everywhere, peddled by your mainstream. That's why you got to turn to the new media taking center stage. LibertyNewsRadio.com in seconds.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Sam and Kurt, news the networks refuse to use on your radio. Now, there's two headlines that denote this story. Kurt has one and I have one. I'm going to give you the headlines, then I want to talk about the story, Kurt. Headlines say this. First one. Hillary Clinton's losing campaign cost a record $1.2 billion. $1.2 billion for a failed campaign. The next headline puts it in perspective a little bit more, Kurt. Even the liberals are jumping on Hillary now. And they say this. Hillary donors could have fed 6 million hungry children for a year with the wasted campaign money. Kurt?
Yeah, the story I'm looking at, Bob Fredericks wrote it. And, you know, the interesting thing we've always been told so many times, hey, you know, whoever spends the most money pretty much is going to win. Now, we've seen that be the not the case a couple of times, at least that I could think of, that Mickey Cantor deal out of, was it Virginia, I think, a little while back. And then this one, basically, they're telling us that Hillary spent twice as much money, $1.2 billion, where Trump was somewhere around $600 million. You know, some of the more interesting parts to the story, they say the Clinton expensive machine tore through about $132 million in just the final weeks. They finished up with $839,000 in the checking account, I guess, as of 28th of November. Team Trump, they say, spent $94.5 million in the home stretch, and they had $7.6 million left in there. They say the figures include all spending by the campaigns, PACs, and party committees. I don't really know how they figure it all out all together. But anyway, Trump contributed, they say, $66 million from his own pocket, $34 million less than he estimated he would shell out. I guess he was thinking about $100 million or something like that. The Trump digital director credited strategic last minute investments with helping propel the political newcomer to victory. I guess they spent money on get out the vote advertising in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Florida, about $5 million, you know, late. They say it proved critical. Some of those states were won by razor thin margins. When the guy said, hey man, just imagine if we hadn't spent that, maybe we wouldn't have won. I guess the skeptics had told Trump that he was going to have to spend $1 billion to have a chance to win. He says there's no reason to raise that back when, you know, a long time ago they told him.
And now, let me just defend Donald a little bit. He's right on that, but he's also wrong, Kurt. What I mean by that is he really spent the money. We're just not tracking it because it was given to him for free by the media.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up next. His quote, he says, I just don't think I need nearly as much money as other people need because I get so much publicity. Now, we would translate to say free media coverage. He said, I get so many invitations to be on television. I get so many interviews if I want them. And he's right about that being pretty much stuff you can't even buy, you know. And that's where the he who owns the media makes the rules.
And that's why, you know, on one hand, I get it. And I commend Donald for changing the game. But at the same time, I say just because you can coax the media into it because you're a showman or a, I don't know what you'd say to, about Donald, but that doesn't really impress me too much. He still spent $600 million, Kurt. And the real story, in my opinion, is between Hillary, $1.2 billion, and him, $600 million, we're still talking about $2 billion on an election that's incredibly highly contested.
You know, I mean, it's very...
Yeah, 1.8, but then you got to wonder how much that media piece Donald got that we're not counting.
That's right.
Good and when point. You figure all that out, it might be closer to $3 billion.
Maybe about $10 billion that way, you know.
I don't know. The numbers are just startling.
If you ask those media guys, you know, their coverage and time is worth a whole bunch, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the point is you could have fed 6 million hungry children for a year. The question is how much could you have fed with Donald's side and the media and everybody else, whatever they put in? And I'm not really saying you got to be a bleeding heart and run around and say we got to feed everybody with the money or whatever else. I mean, I personally believe that we should care more about our neighbor. We should make sure that elections aren't this costly. But nevertheless, it's interesting to note. Now, I guess there's a good news piece, though, that I want to move to because it's Christmas-esque, Kurt. Merry Christmas to everyone. Mm-hmm. But I guess cops are spreading cheer with cash?
Well, yeah, Sam, and I know this is kind of... unusual.
It's phenomenal is what it is.
But you know, I mean, imagine what I find so interesting so many of the times we get told that, hey, people, you know, like there's a cop shooting story or, you know, these different things. And then, you know, when you have to deal directly with them, you find out, you know, they charge you some monster charge if you, you know, run a stop sign or something like that. And they're wondering why people are ticked off with them. Well, it seems pretty easy, but this is a story from Emily Muir. I don't know if I said that right, but it's the Jackson Hole Daily. And she says, you could be the lucky recipient of a holiday bonus over the next few weeks if you're on your best behavior. Yeah, some generous Teton County philanthropists have given a substantial amount of money to local law enforcement to hand out to residents this holiday season. The sheriff up there, Jim Whalen, he told the Jackson Hole Daily, he said, I have received cash from some anonymous donors to give out to people prior to the holidays. Better move up there, huh, Sam? Sheriff Whalen wouldn't disclose how much money was donated, but said there's enough for officers to hand out 50 to 100 bucks at a time. Deputies, officers, and troopers will be on the lookout this month for people doing good deeds. It could be almost anything, the sheriff added. For example, it could be a person who helps someone out of a snowbank, exercises good driving habits, calls dispatch with helpful public safety information, or even witnesses a crime. It might even just be someone who's down on their luck. The sheriff said, this is all about spreading goodwill in almost any way we can. The cash blitz will likely start real soon.
Now, is it all sheriff... private money, Kurt?
Well, that's what it says.
Yeah,
it's a local philanthropist.
Isn't it? My reason to bring that up is, though, just think, you know, we can do good things and we just don't even need government, right?
Yeah. Well, in this case, they're working with the sheriff's office, but I'm sure the sheriff's office is plenty happy to be handing out
and
stuff.
And I'm saying,
that makes
though, that's
people
not spending
happy.
Our tax dollars without our permission or anything else. Now, a
no,
government official
no.
willing to help spread the cheer is a different discussion in my mind than fleecing the people, right?
Oh, yeah. Big thing.
I mean, I don't have a problem if sheriff's department people are kind of helping.
They say the donors wish to remain anonymous. But all are Jackson Hole residents. Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, man. See, what if the news were to report that, Kurt, and what if you just had, like, copycat stories all over the country?
Yeah, I didn't see or hear that anywhere else. You know, I guess they just didn't have time to fit it in, Sam. I mean, you know, full of news, the
they're too busy talking about perverts and who knows what else, right?
Yeah, that's right. Good point.
All right. Well, you can hope.
Yes, that's right.
You know?
Good point.
I mean, you know, you got to hope. It's Christmas time.
Yeah.
Come on, people.
That's right.
All right, I guess the Senate is in the news, Kurt. And this is the Republican Senate, don't you know, right?
Yeah.
And I got to give a big old disgrace brownie button to the Senate.
Oh.
I'll tell you why after
the
pause.
Do?
Well, they're just being thugs with your money, stealing your money and, you know, robbery from you. Didn't you look up the definition of thug and it had, like, robbery in it, Kurt?
I did, yeah.
All right, so these people
I even
robbed
sent that
from
to Sheriff Mack so he could know what a thug was.
Yeah, these people robbed from you and me, and I'll tell you what they did with it in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite talk station.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Confident but unsubstantiated assertions by the establishment media notwithstanding, there is no credible evidence that the Russian government attempted to intervene in the recent presidential election. However, Georgia's Secretary of State, Brian Kemp, has reason to suspect that the U.S. Department of Homeland Security attempted to breach his office's firewall. State-level secretaries of state are generally responsible for overseeing elections. The apparent attempted breach occurred a week after the November 8th election. At no time has my office agreed to or permitted DHS to conduct penetration testing or security scans of our network, Kemp wrote in an official letter to Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson. Moreover, your department has not contacted my office since the unsuccessful incident to alert us of any security event that would require testing or scanning of our network. This is especially odd and concerning, since I serve on the election cybersecurity working group that your office created. Significantly, prior to the election, Georgia was one of two states that refused so-called cyber hygiene support and penetration testing by DHS. At the time, Kemp complained that federal officials now think our whole system is on the verge of disaster because some Russian's going to tap into the voting system. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Gregg.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So I'm going to call them thugs, and I'm going to use that word on purpose, Kirk, because part of the definition of thugs is when you rob people. And the House and the Senate, all Republicans, are thugs. They robbed from you and I, the American people. And the headline to denote this theft, this robbery, this legal plunder, says this: Senate passes law authorizing, listen, feds to spend up to $20 million supporting independent journalists. Now, the story says, listen, there's propaganda in other nations, foreign propaganda. And we got to help these journalists combat this foreign propaganda. And so we're going to spend $20 million to support journalists. Now, Kurt, you think they're going to basically write a check to us to support us in rejecting fake news from foreign entities, Kurt?
I think they probably won't get around to that.
Let me ask you the next question. Do you think we'd take it if they did?
Yeah, good point.
No, no, no. Because the problem is when you take it, now you're compromised and you can't report the truth. Well, you can, but the money will stop. And so that's the problem here is you got the Congress, the so-called Republicans that are going to cut spending and return to honest, you know, proper role of government principles and everything else. They're spending $20 million to fund journalists. I'm sure they're all in the mainstream. Supporting what they call independent journalists, Kurt. But I submit to you, they're all tapped into the mainstream. It's all foreign manipulation. So we don't like foreign free speech, Kurt, so we're going to use tax dollars to combat it. And the question becomes, who's the biggest propagandist in the world? And sadly to say, nowadays it becomes, in many ways, the United States government. Shame on the Senate, Kurt. All right, the Pentagon, I guess, is, I don't know, are they worse than the Senate, Kurt?
Well, there's a little bit of government waste there, Sam. You know, I guess they've buried
some
evidence.
Well, it's one thing
evidence.
To waste, Kurt. It's another thing to bury the evidence, right? Cover it up?
Well, it's not a shock to me. But anyway, the headline reads, Pentagon buries evidence of $125 billion in bureaucratic waste. Now, that's quite a bit of waste. Craig Whitlock and Bob Woodward are the authors. They say the Pentagon has buried an internal study that exposed $125 billion in administrative waste, according to findings by the Washington Post. Wow, the WAPO.
Those are the ones that are known for peddling fake news and they're rejecting fake news articles, those guys, yeah.
Well, I suppose so, but every so often even a dog can
broken
find
clocks,
a biscuit.
Right?
You know, yeah, there you go. Yeah. The Pentagon, they say, buried an internal study that exposed $125 billion, not million, in administrative waste in its business operations.
But you know what the liberals are saying, Kurt?
What's that?
This story's fake news.
Oh, really? Okay. Amid fears Congress would use the findings as an excuse to slash the defense budget. That's according to interviews and confidential memos obtained by the Washington Post. You know, Sam, at least the key for me about this story is I just want to ask really about anybody. Do you think there's any government waste going on? Do you think there's any way we could, lower taxes?
There used to be, Kurt, but they worked on. They got that under control now, buddy. They've been working on that for years.
They say Pentagon leaders had requested the study to help make their enormous back office bureaucracy more efficient and reinvest any savings in combat power. But after the project documented far more wasteful spending than expected, senior defense officials moved swiftly to kill it by discrediting and suppressing the results. This was issued back in 2015.
And the mainstream press was all too willing to carry the ball.
Well, it looks like to me, especially if they get money from the, government to do it.
Those independent journalists just got her done with the cash, didn't
they're
they?
They're not really independent that way. Anyway, they issued this report back in
January 2015. It all depends on how you define
independent.
They're independent
exactly
for the American
right.
people.
Good point. Anyway, they identified a clear path for the Defense Department to save $125 billion over 5 years. The plan would not have required layoffs of civil servants or reductions in military personnel. Instead, they say it would have streamlined the bureaucracy through attrition and early retirements, curtailed high-priced contractors, and made better use of information technology. You know, Sam, I just want to ask you a simple question. Do you think if we and a bunch of our buddies went ahead and started working on that Pentagon budget, there would be any money saved? All I can say is, if you've seen the movie Dave, you see, the guy impersonating the president call his buddy up that's a CPA and says, man, I need some help with this federal budget. I just can't figure it out. And they come over and look through the budget, and the guy playing the CPA said, man, I don't know, if I ran my business like this, I'd be out of business,
Well, of course, but what do you do?
Good point.
But the problem is that what they'll do, if you and I wanted to go ahead and cut expenses and anything else, they'd say, number one, we're a domestic threat to the nation. We're putting the nation in serious jeopardy and security with our belligerent cuts. The second thing they'd do is they'd start to say, you're not even qualified, Kurt.
Great point.
What
they
credentials
say this,
do you have, sir?
Yeah, that's right. They say this study was produced
last
year.
Not only
that,
you're a hack for the Russians.
Oh, boy. By the Defense Business Board. I didn't know we had one of those. That's the DBB.
Yeah, what good is that thing doing?
Defense Business Board. They say it's a federal advisory panel of corporate executives.
See, that's where the revolving door comes from. Shut that sucker down yesterday.
Yeah, they say they're from McKinsey and Company. Based on reams of personnel and cost data, their report revealed for the first time that the Pentagon was spending almost a quarter of its $580 billion budget on overhead and core business operations such as accounting, human resources, logistics, and property management. They say this data
showed
that
the defense... What do you mean property management? They shouldn't even have any property, Kurt.
Yeah, good point. They say, well, you got those military bases that should be legitimate ones, I guess that's property. The data showed that the Defense Department was paying a staggering number of people. That's 1,014,000 contractors, civilians, and uniformed personnel to fill back office jobs far from the front lines.
Yeah.
That workforce supports 1.3 million troops on active duty, the fewest since 1940, they say.
You got to basically a support person for every troop almost, Kurt.
Pretty much, it looks like. Anyway, this study could find a receptive audience, they say, with President-elect Donald Trump. He has promised a major military buildup and said he would pay for it by eliminating government waste and budget gimmicks. for the major, for the military, the major allure of the study was that it called for reallocating the $125 billion for troops and weapons. I mean, imagine using the military money
for
troops.
It just never ends, Kurt.
Yeah, good point.
All right, there you have it, $125 billion in waste. How many children could that have fed, Kurt? Not that I advocate feeding the people with that, except for I think we ought to just leave it in the hands of the American people. Maybe they could prosper for a change. In fact, there's a corollary story related to the fact that people aren't prospering in America. Headline says, children today will probably never earn more than their parents. Believe it or not, children today are less likely to earn more than their parents. That's according to a December 2016 study published in the, quote, National Bureau of Economic Research. Recent analysis of what they call absolute income mobility. Now, have you ever heard of that, Kurt? Absolute income mobility. It's a term they use. That's a measure that compares a person's income with that of their parents. It was conducted by six economists, and it shows that income mobility has fallen across the entire income spectrum. Largest decline is for income families in the middle class, and the economists compared household incomes at age 30 years old with that of their parents' household incomes at the same age, meaning 30 years old. And what they found was rather concerning. Rates of, quote, absolute mobility have fallen from 90% for children born in 1940 to 50% for children born in 1980. And it's getting worse. The bottom line is you'll most likely never make more than your parents. Even if dollar-wise you supposedly make more, you know, your parents made 30 grand or something and you make 90 grand. The fact is with inflation and this mobility index, you're worse off. And I submit to you, they didn't even do studies about, you know what, both parents have to work now because of the tax man. Just to stay above water. It's like dad works and makes money for the family. Mom works for play money and to pay taxes. That's kind of how it is in modern day America. Less children, more debt, greater taxes. But that relates directly to this idea that Pentagon buries evidence of $125 billion in waste and Senate spending $20 million on journalists. And you know what? Hillary donors could have fed 6 million children for a year on the money they wasted on the failed campaign bid. It's all wrapped up into the same reality. By the way, there's a recount. We're not talking money. We're talking people. But it had serious problems in Detroit. Vote fraud big time. And the mainstream press tells you there isn't vote fraud. Where's their fake news coming from, huh?
Well, my family is a very interesting family because we're what you would call a stable family. My family doesn't smoke or drink because my mother brought me up in a Christian home. I guess that's what kind of has kept me straight because I've always looked up to the Lord.
Every day, an estimated 3,000 teens start smoking.
My parents always taught me, you know, the difference between right and wrong. They always taught me that smoking isn't right because physically it's not good for you, and also mentally it affects you. And they always try to do the right thing because things catch up to you in life sooner or later. I think kids learn behavior patterns from their parents because they're the people that they mostly see. They're the people who we love and respect. So the people who you love the most and respect the most from is who you tend to take things from.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you can take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Detroit, absolute vote fraud going on, and the mainstream press doesn't know what to do because they can't spin the fake news this time, sir.
Yeah, it's a great point, Sam. And, you know, just so you know how it worked there, what they were trying to do in Michigan is try to find Hillary some more votes. Only problem is when they start looking into things, you know, the darn numbers just didn't match up, you know. I mean, they had, for example, according to WorldNet Daily, they had some serious fraud there in, Detroit area. That's called Wayne County. They weren't able to have the ballots counted due to, they say, discrepancies with ballot counts. One person reports single ballots being counted as many as six times. Well, it makes it a little better, easier for you to win if you can count your one ballot six times, Sam. A federal judge has now halted Michigan's recount. She says, number one, there's not a legitimate reason to continue, et cetera. But they also say they found this possible vote fraud. They say the worst of the problems were in Wayne County, Michigan's largest county, where 66% of the voters, they said, cast their ballots for Hillary Clinton and just 29% for Donald Trump. There was such a problem, they say, according to the Detroit News, quote, officials couldn't reconcile vote totals for 610 of 1,680 precincts during a countywide canvass of vote results late last month. So, you know, what's that? It's not half, but it's pretty much, you know, a third or more.
This number is just too big to ignore, Kurt, is the problem.
Well,
they would love
right.
to tell you that it's not happening, but they can't anymore.
The Detroit paper continued, most of those are in heavily Democratic Detroit, where the number of ballots in precinct poll books didn't match those of voting machine printout reports in 59% of the precincts, or in other words, 392 out of 662 of them. Oh, darn. Well, they just missed a couple there. Michigan state law says if a precinct's poll books don't match the ballots, then the original election results must stand. Anyway, the Detroit elections director, Daniel Baxter, told the Detroit News, he said, it's not good. They go on to say he blamed the discrepancies on the city's decade-old voting machines, said 87 optical scanners broke on election day. Doggone it. He said many jammed when voters fed ballots into scanners, which can result in erroneous vote counts. If ballots are inserted multiple times, poll workers are supposed to adjust the counters to reflect a single vote, but in many cases fail to do so. That caused these discrepancies, he said. County reports obtained by the Detroit News, though, indicate the canvassers were provided no explanation for why the numbers didn't add up in those precincts. They certify the results of the election anyway. They say that Trump had won Michigan by 10,704 votes. The Detroit News noted that Clinton's best hope of eliminating Trump's margin was in finding undocumented ballots in Wayne County. And they asked this Democratic activist, Ernest Johnson, and here's what he said. If I were looking for 10,000 votes, the first place I'd look is in Wayne County.
See, is it evidential facts because of so many problems, Kurt, that the numbers are out of control, but it's even commonly known proves this point, right? And so when these guys run around and say there's not vote fraud, they're literally peddling fake news, Kurt, and they know it.
Yeah, good point. Good point. You know, and they're pointing out this truth that, remember when Obama was making fun of Trump about the voting irregularities or whatever, he says, hey, you know, get out there and get people to vote for you. the fact is, we got vote fraud going on in America, Sam, and we need to fix that. But anyway, that's what you see there, you know, vote early, vote often in certain areas, right?
Unfortunately, and that seems to be that, you know, they know it, they admit to it. You know, what's next? Serious fraud in Detroit, folks. And Detroit's just a microcosm. It's happening all over in big cities across the country, too. Any Democrat stronghold is absolutely riddled with it. That's not saying the Republicans deserve to be off the hook either.
No, it's not. Good point.
All right, Kurt, there's a doctor. Her name is Elizabeth. She asks a serious question.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Lee. You know, what is it? Wyatt?
Well, this is the one that's asking, couldn't we just have free market
healthcare make a comeback?
Yeah.
Great question.
Just imagine that kind of way out question. She's a member of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. She says, congratulations to President-elect Donald Trump for a common sense and much-needed approach to selecting the new Secretary of Health and Human Services. Instead of a lawyer or another bureaucrat, Trump selected a competent, knowledgeable physician and surgeon, Representative Tom Price, doctor or MD. You know, the department, she goes on to say, the Department of Health and Human Services is the third largest federal agency, often described as a moribund, I'm going to have to look that book word up, over-budgeted, bloated bureaucracy, rife with waste and fraud. Well, which federal one isn't, you know, fit that? But anyway, which controls Medicare and Medicaid, on which millions of Americans depend, HHS itself is desperately in need of strong medicine. Yeah. I guess they say Dr. Price is a longstanding member of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. He's well known to the medical community as a physician who has been a proponent of sound medical practice. He's fought for common sense reforms and market-based solutions on rising medical costs, and he's worked to reduce the escalating government interference in medical decision-making. Dr. Price has also worked to improve access to medical care and specialists for patients in the government-run programs. Now, she goes on to say, this physician herself, writing this story, with the help of WorldNet Daily, as a physician, she says, Dr. Price understands that patients need care tailored to their individual needs. Well, that's a way-out idea, isn't it? Without government bureaucrats dictating
maybe,
what must
maybe
be done.
Maybe since everything's such a failure, we ought to try that way-out idea, Kirk. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. She says, former Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, a lawyer by profession, imposed thousands of pages of new and onerous regulations during her tenure at HHS. Sounds like they ought to have a bonfire there, strangling the practice of medicine and causing increased costs and confusion in medical practice across America. This doctor that says free markets might work goes on to say Democrats constantly claim that free markets didn't work. We can't go back to what was, even if Obamacare has problems. But free markets in medical care and health insurance have not been allowed to operate in the U.S. since the 40s. Oh, that's a long ways back. Anyway, bottom line is she
goes on to
just say,
you know what I find fascinating about this, Kurt?
Ought to try it. Yeah.
We always say we can't go back to what was once was.
That's what they say.
We can just never go back there. Never mind that it worked.
Yeah. Good point.
Now, don't get me wrong. Remember, free market healthcare goes back before the 40s because it was after World War II that they said, oh, man, there's a law that you can't pay people more than a certain amount of money. And so they said, all right, well, let's give them health insurance. Some say that really started big time in the 70s. And that's true. But it had all kinds of, what do you say? It's not just, oftentimes it's not just something when, it's not just when something starts that you can point to the beginning because it starts before it starts. Point. In other words, there's all kinds of fits and starts. And
when it starts, a lot of times it doesn't start on turbo. It starts, you know, just a little bit at a time.
Yeah, or it starts with something that makes common sense at first.
Yeah, good point.
And then it evolves into something that we would absolutely reject.
Yeah, and she goes on to say in her article, there's practically no true health insurance available, just managed care plans. Americans prepay their premiums, and someone else, government or insurance company, decides what services they're allowed to have and which doctors and hospitals they can use. It's a great point. President-elect Trump has proposed common-sense reforms that would pair catastrophic medical insurance with individually owned health savings accounts. Patients themselves would then control most medical spending.
And I think that's a start, but I don't think it's the answer.
This would provide, she says, more medical freedom than we have seen over the course of my whole career. To be affordable, she says, health insurance must be like casualty insurance, such as automobile and fire insurance, reimbursing us only for unpredictable expenses that would wipe us out and leaving the free market to work to determine prices and allocation of resources. Wow. She's got good ideas, huh, Sam?
Man, they better somehow call her a racist or do something to stop her. She might actually gain ground.
Good point.
You know? Wow.
And she tells you right what to do in her article, just how to go through it.
Yeah, good for her. We need more of it, ladies and gentlemen. And hopefully Donald will truly grab onto this kind of information, surround himself with these kind of people, and absolutely make a difference for the free market, for liberty, and for the American people. Our prayers are that he gets that done, and we need to give him time and an opportunity before we say he's already failed. I realize that now's the time to speak up or forever hold your peace to some degree. So we need to stand up and guide and provide advice for Donald. But we can't throw him under the bus, and I hope we never get to. The bottom line is, Donald, there's the advice you need. This lady's spot on, and we literally carry this forward because we want solutions. LibertyNewsDaily.com. Donate today. This nation shall endure.